Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Here we go, JV. Who they? Who they? Who they say gonna beat the Bengals? Who they? Who they? Who they say gonna beat the Bengals? No!
Fuck you. We like the Bengals. Starts now.
And we're back, baby! Who they wanna win with Joe Burrow? I think we can compete with Joe Burrow. Who they wanna win with Joe Burrow? Either way, who day we love you. And welcome back to Fuck You, We Like the Bengals. I'm your host, Alex Schubert. Sitting across from me, per usual, is my man,
Lloyd Johnson.
Lloyd Johnson, how you doing this week, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Fresh off a week at Go Bananas. I just hosted for Grant Lyon, who is fantastic.
I heard they were good shows.
They were really good shows, man. I was going to say... the Saturday early show was legitimately one of my favorite shows I've ever hosted at Go Bananas.
That's awesome.
Because I got a message ahead of time from Tina, one of the old waitresses at Go Bananas.
Yeah.
She's the best. And she knows, like, sign language really well. Like, she taught it, like, Cincinnati State. And she messaged me, like, hey, I know some sign language interpreters that are going to be at the show because there's a... going to be a deaf woman, like, that's going to be attending the show.
Yeah.
So it was, like, a packed house, and there were sign language interpreters on the stage with us, and it was the coolest shit in the world.
I've actually, just for that reason, because one of the times I was up at Liberty, I think it was Bargatze. There was an interpreter there, and I was like...
Man, imagine a sign language interpreter for Big J.
You gotta get creative with some insults on the fly, because that guy is... But, I was like, I ought to go back and brush up on my sign language skill. Like, I took sign language all through high school, and...
Really?
Even did a couple classes after, or whatever. I was like, I gotta interpret for the clubs around here, because at least, you know, somebody who knows some bit of, like, comedy and timing and whatever.
And it was with, Bargatze?
Well, I happened to see somebody up on the stage doing it, and that's when I had that thought, like... I know enough that I could go back and, you know.
And, like, sign language interpret?
Yeah.
No shit. Yeah, because, so the middle act was Chris Seamer. Imagine interpreting for the dirtiest comic in Cincinnati.
How do you say shitbeard?
No, I was going to go up after Seamer's set and say, now I know how to say jizz biscuit in sign language. So Seamer goes up on stage... and says, now I get to find out how to say jizz in sign language. And I'm like, damn it, that was my joke.
I think you still could have went up and been like, well, we learned jizz biscuit, if nothing else. Like,
we did. And so Seamer told, like, a really... He has this bit where he tells the dirtiest joke he's ever written. And backstory, there were two sign language interpreters that were, like, flip-flopping back and forth. And right after Seamer told that punchline, that one sign language interpreter got off stage, and the other one tagged in.
Yeah, that would be brutal. Like, to
it's exhausting.
Not, well, I'm saying if that's not your cup of tea, too, to have to do that, I imagine would be like if you're not like a big comedy person or, you know, or easily offended or whatever. I can imagine that being.
never had my act done in sign language. And I have one joke where I like kind of like do like a thriller walk. It's like a creepily walk, like, come here, pretty lady. And the interpreters were doing like mini pantomimed versions of my act outs.
That's awesome.
I think that'd be fun. I didn't know that, but Grant, the headliner, brought it up, and it did really well when he said that.
I just think it'd be fun as an interpreter to get to do some of those, because there's people think of sign language, it's all just hands, but it's your expression. It's everything. Like, you know, everything's visual. So, and everything's very...
Not 100% dry, true.
Direct. Okay, I'm saying...
In most cases.
Yeah. That's how it's... So
and that's how it's perceived.
I have a lot of deaf friends. And, yes. And, you know, all of them are big gesturers, big, and they, you know, a lot of emoting, a lot of, you know, adding flavor, if you will, to the sign. So, like, one of them, super, super blunt dude, he's, like, Division II national wrestling champ runner-up, like, just no-neck giant. And watching him go from, like, that mean face to, like, super expressive, silly stuff really? On his signs. And he's very blunt. So, like, he saw me not too long ago, and he just pointed at me. He's like, and I was like, yes, I did get fat. and he's sitting there just laughing.
Just having a good time.
And I was just like, oh, I forgot how much I enjoyed, like, just the bluntness of...
of who he is.
Well, I mean, just a lot of deaf people in general, they're just a lot more direct with... anything that's visual, because it's not as taboo to them to point out something visually different.
Yes.
And yeah, it was just hilarious, because one of the first things he did, he just pointed at me and just, you guys can't see it, but I'm pointing at Alex and then making like a gesture like my cheeks are puffed out.
And he was like, yeah, I got fat.
And when he does it, like his whole face is, like he literally puffs his cheeks out and like squints his eyes and turns his head like.
It's like Blake Hammond's joke where he goes up to the pastor and he's like, it looks like you've And it's like, hey, Blake, it's been a long time. It looks like you've gained some weight. I was like, yeah. And also with you. Well, we say it in your spirit now. But so after the show, we went up to the interpreters. Shout out to Phil and Veronica. I don't know your last names, but they were awesome. And so we asked them, like, did they like the show? And then she said they were rolling the entire time. And I'm like, yes. And I did the one sign that I know, which is thank you, which is like hand on the chin. Hand on the chin forward, and they were super nice after the show. So shout out to them for making that happen. It was a really cool experience.
Yeah, it's always fun to brush up against something like that that you kind of you don't always think about, but getting to see it experienced by somebody else in a different way than is normal, I think that's always fun.
It is. One thing I was going to bring up about people that are deaf, like some people that are also blind, I've read that like you can. They can put their hands on top of a person that's signing and recognize what those signs are just by feeling.
Yeah, there's a girl that went to the school, St. Rita's, and her name's Ala.
Oh, okay.
And she always would compliment my hands because it was very easy to read because my hands are big.
How do you learn that as a blind and deaf person?
It's tough.
I figured that.
And, like, she...
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
She was a little lucky because she has, like, she's not 100% blind, but mostly. She has little bitty scopes where she can kind of see the shape and whatever.
Okay.
Which I imagine made it easier. But each case is, you kind of find the right way to just relate, you know, a thing and then spell it out in their hand, and they get used to, okay, this is the same way you kind of learn reading, just in a lot tougher.
That's insanely tough, and I don't know how they do it, and props to them.
But I'll say this, Ola Jennings.
The what?
Ola Jennings.
Oh, okay.
She was funny. She ended up, I think, going to Dartmouth. Like, very bright, very funny. And you're looking like, this girl has shit that I would never want to even imagine having to deal with. And just super sweet, super nice.
You'll love to see it.
Yeah, she was cool. She commented on smells a lot, which always amused me. I'm like, oh, I guess if that's,
Well, yeah, is it true that your other senses are heightened?
No, you're just more aware of them. Like, it's not like they work
okay,
better.
That makes sense. Because you have what? Smell, touch, and...
Taste,
yes. I can't believe I forget what the five senses are.
And smell and taste are basically the same. Like,
you're smelling with your mouth. It's yeah. Taste.
Yeah, I mean, snakes do it with a Jacobson organ, but we don't have those, so...
Didn't know that. That's a trivia question now. News to me.
What's up, zookeeper?
Well, yeah, man. Well, you're the one that makes the cakes.
Yeah, that's true. I did, made a couple cool ones this year.
You made a... I saw another one on the news recently.
They had one for Fiona's birthday, but I didn't do that one. The keepers did that. They just...
I thought you did that one.
Not the one, most recent one. The big one last year I did. And then this year they had, like, a smaller...
Do you do that by yourself, or...?
Usually Thomas helps me, who was actually going to be on the pod with us today.
Yeah, we're going to get him. We had some scheduling issues.
So we'll have him on next month. But yeah, Thomas is usually, in all honesty, he helps a lot more than he would ever admit that he does. Like, there's been more than once where they do it on a day I'm not there, so I'll have everything put to, like, everything prepped and ready to go, and he has to put it together in a rush and get it there and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So they always get kind of... Like, oh, I didn't really do it, but they do a lot. And...
That's awesome. Yeah, well, Thomas, what's his last name?
Claggett.
Thomas Claggett. We'll get him on next month. Yeah. He's a former UC football player.
Defensive lineman.
No shit.
Big boy, giant smile, one of the happiest, nicest people you'll meet.
Fuck and also yeah. Looks I like, love those people.
And also looks like if he got slightly irritated with you, he could remove your head.
Oh, so he must have been a bouncer in a past life.
I think he's too nice. I don't know if he'd want to be really? A bouncer. Like, I don't think he would enjoy... Like, he's the guy who would sit there and rather drink with you, and I think he'd be good at it. I just don't know that he would enjoy it.
Yeah, because I've worked in bars for the fucking longest time. Bouncers have just... There's that small part of them, that just hopes they just get to let someone have it.
All right, so I was a bouncer for... years and
do tell.
Yeah, there absolutely is, especially depending on where you work.
Where'd you work?
I started out working in Metropolis.
Okay, that's I'm guessing that doesn't exist anymore.
I don't think so. I hope not.
Where
it's,
is it?
Was that Forest Fair Mall or Cincinnati Mills Mall now?
They have bars and malls.
It's like on top of one of the parking garages. It was like three giant clubs all together. Like anyone listening, most people know what it was. It was Bourbon Street, and then it was Metropolis. And
are there even like nightclubs in Cincinnati anymore?
Yeah, I'm sure there's some. I don't
like. There's one like on the outskirts of downtown called Energy.
Yeah, I don't.
Or something like that.
I'm out of that loop so far. Like, if you can get me out of my house, I might go to like a really divey bar. But
like, you seem like a Rake's End kind of guy.
I'm more like a tavern.
Northside Tavern.
Northside Tavern.
I've never
Junkers.
Been there.
Really?
Never. I like Junkers.
Yeah, I love Tavern, Junkers, Chameleon, Like, that's one of the reasons I live down here in Northside, is just I always like this area and the people and the...
Yeah, they're chill as hell, and I was, man. Yeah, the only bar I can think of in Cincinnati that even comes close to being a nightclub is Gallup Park. It's down at the banks. It's like...
that Tokyo Kitty-ish? That's clubby, isn't it?
It's a karaoke bar.
Okay, well, I've never been there. I just saw pictures and...
It's a fun place.
Okay, it looked kind of clubby to me, but again, I've never been, so...
It's like, it's a bar that serves like... fancy, not like fancy, like $100 a ounce, just like drinks that are well put together.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, there's just karaoke the entire time. It's kind of a cool place. We went there last Monday when Molly Hartzell, right before Molly Hartzell moved to New York.
Bye, Molly.
Yeah. That amazing bundle of energy, Molly Hartzell.
So much fun.
The best. We're gonna miss Molly Hartzell.
But I bet she'll crush it up there in New York.
She's working for SNL.
Oh, well then, yeah, she will.
She's gonna, like, I think she's like a personal assistant or something like that.
That's awesome.
And she's gonna get like, if she, I'm not sure what she's doing up there. Is she like a PA for like? I picture her. Have you seen SNL recently?
Bits and pieces. I don't know if I've actually watched the whole episode, but
you know A.D. Bryant?
Yeah.
I picture Molly and A.D. Bryant being, like, best fucking friends.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see the... Yeah.
Just that happy... They both have that happy energy to them.
Yeah, I can see, like, the... I imagine they could... They'd be the kind of people you have to, like, all right, guys, let's... We're going to the bar. We're going to keep everything cool.
Yep.
I figured I could take it up too far, but, yeah, that'd be fun.
Well, it's not like the 90s SNL when you got, like, Chris Farley and Adam Sandler doing coke off of each other's dicks.
I mean, tell me you wouldn't pay to watch it, though.
Oh, 100%.
Right.
I mean, at least someone gets to see Chris Farley's dick.
He couldn't.
Yeah, that was the joke.
I was co-signing.
Yeah. Dude, so Chris Farley's last days were insane.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he hosted SNL, like, 2 months before he died.
Yeah, and then apparently put on, like, what, 35 pounds in 2 months?
Oh, it was bad. Like, his voice was hoarse. It wasn't good.
It's a boy who knew how to party.
He like, relapsed constantly.
Yeah,
like, I mean, he was going to be clean for a bit, then he was going to be just Party Chris for a while.
I don't think there's ever anything but Party Chris in that guy. I think
that's 100%. Because wasn't he, like, a pastor's kid?
Probably. I think... That's one of the quickest ways to make an interesting person.
Yes, so... So the pastor at Crossroads, Brian Tome... I'm going to make this a side note. So when I ran karaoke at Uncle Woody's, I knew his daughter.
Knew?
I mean, like, we're still, like... What are you trying to say, brother?
It was a questioning knew.
No, like, his daughter used to come to my gig all the time. And
yeah, euphemism or did...
No, like, she would come to karaoke all the time. And I told Zach Wykeff about that, who, like, goes to Crossroads regularly. I think he asked, like, what's she like? And I'm like, oh, that's right. I used to yell at her all the time for dancing on the tables.
Yeah, I have a couple friends whose parents were pastors, and one whose dad was, like, the super, super evangelical, like...
Oh, so it's like your kids are going to rebel automatically?
And, I mean, honestly, most of them are really fun, interesting people, and none of them have that peace in them anymore. It's all weeded out by the time they become adults. Just, yeah. They're just a different group of people. I mean, that's how you get, like, a Daniel Tosh or his dad's a pastor.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
In Florida.
Y'all motherfuckers need Jesus.
Apparently not. Apparently you just... Well, I mean, if you want to make interesting kids, I guess.
You got it. There you go. Oh, you got it. Where Lloyd was reaching for his booze.
That's right.
Fuck yeah. That's how we get through these episodes. Lloyd just...
That's how you get through being a Bengals fan, my man.
Yeah. Dude, do you see that... So the marijuana board or something like that, they were considering letting being a Browns or Bengals fan...
As a qualifying condition.
They just rejected that.
Yeah, it was never going
to
pass.
Oh, I know, but it was a funny story.
It's so great that made it to... Like, you, that's where you're like, all right, this democracy thing might be all right. Like, they actually got enough signatures to make someone have to address that.
Yes.
That's
I like fantastic. To think there was that one person, more than likely an actual Browns Bengals fan, that was like, I vote aye on this one.
Oh, I'm sure there was a handful of people that were like, oh, I want to say yes. Like, I found, like, especially if you listen to, like, I have a mild fascination with what people do when they get out of politics.
Really?
Just, like, the people who leave young. It's kind of like people who leave the NFL young. Or, like, you know, I have a buddy, a guy I know that was a fighter, and he was kind of in the middle of his career and just was like, no more shots to the head, I'm out.
Really? And so, I'm, like an Andrew Luck kind of deal?
Yeah, more like, what was the 49ers player a couple years ago that...
Chris Borland? Are you talking about Patrick Willis?
Yeah. Yeah, more like that. Like that, I know I can do something else.
Yeah.
Like that comfortability and confidence to be like, all right, I'll still... Because, I mean, if you're in politics, your life's made. If you're in the NFL, your life's made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If you succeed in the NFL, your life is made.
Well, I mean, I'm saying someone who was. Someone who knew, like, oh, I could ride this out for another couple years and be worth twice what I am now. But no, I'm cool. I'm gonna stop now and then go do something else.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna use an example. Jake Locker. He was the 7th overall pick in 2011, was the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, and just lost the love of football.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine that being hard to maintain if you're not the kind of person that's... I think there's people who get by... playing sports, and there's people who love sports. And like, yeah. I said, the fighter I was talking about, I think he's one of those dudes who was, he was just really good at it, but I don't know that he had the proper passion to do that.
Because, like, they've been playing, like you said, like, oh, they're rookies. No, they've been playing football their entire lives.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For a decade and a half, more than likely. Or probably just a decade.
I mean, this is where I wish Thomas was here. Like, he have that insight. He played football all the way through college, everything.
Where did you go to high school?
Somewhere in Maryland.
Oh, okay. And you came to Cincinnati?
Yeah.
It's fucking dope. We'll get him on next month. We'll fucking schedule better because I'm a turd who can't say no to a trivia or DJ gig.
No, that's making money.
It is making money. It makes me... I love comedy so much. And I've always wanted to be a comedian ever since I was in high school, honestly. But like DJing and... trivia makes money.
Which lets you do comedy?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's all towards the same dream.
Yeah. It gives me bits for stand-up. Like, I have a new one that I'm working on right now. Came from a DJ gig yesterday, and I think I'm going to hammer it out and hope for the best.
I can't imagine that. Like I said, I was a bouncer for years at, like, a club. Like, I mean, it was top 40, techno room, and a country room. And then, like,
really?
Yeah, it's all together.
Oh, that's a cool concept.
And the techno room was 18 and up. I wish you guys could see the look he just gave me. Like, oh, that's a horrible idea.
Yeah.
You're right. It was... and it was every douchey, pop-collar, tilted visor guy.
You hitting on my girl, bruh?
It was... And I just got to, at my discretion, grab them and throw them out.
That's awesome.
It was one of the best jobs I've ever had. And for sure the most, like, fulfilling of those things you don't want to admit. But like you said, there's always that little bit of, I hope. There were a lot of, like, you'd see people walk in the room and be like, ooh, I hope so. Ooh, I hope so. I remember one time there was a guy who walked in, and this is not a joke. It sounds like I'm being, like, just... over the top. He had his visor on upside down, so it was, like, sticking up.
Oh, what a twat.
And he had sunglasses on the back of his head, but he had, like, the yellow sunglasses on. So he had two pairs of sunglasses and a visor.
Oh, so he is, like, Guy Fieri doing an impression of himself.
It was like if Guy Fieri didn't learn how to be humble.
Guy Fieri is not humble.
Exactly. This guy was just... Yeah, tall.
Out there.
tall guy, well built, you know, pretty face, whatever. Like, you could tell he thought so highly of himself.
Oh, those are the worst people.
And I saw him walk in, and I just saw him throw down a credit card, and I'm like, for sure not yours. Like, you could just tell the whole vibe, the way he was. Like, he was living life out of daddy's wallet. And those are the worst. It was one where I specifically remember watching him walk in and go, I really hope he does anything at all. And he didn't disappoint. 45 minutes in, he's 4 Jaeger bombs deep. And the bartender walks over to, like, I was in the techno room most of the time because that was one where you had to throw the most people out. Because they had 18 and up. And
dudes would, like,
everyone was drinking, even if they weren't drinking.
Yeah, it's where the underages would go just to get their fix.
And, but yeah, 45 minutes in, he's 4 Jaeger bombs deep, and he dropped his beer. And when it splashed up, he, like, walked up to the lady and was like, you handed this to me wet! Started screaming at the bartender about her handing him a beer that was wet.
It's filled with liquid!
It also came out of a giant tub of beer and ice. Like, he didn't, this wasn't the bartender, it's a beer tub girl. Like, they had, like, beer tubs in the rooms, so not everyone packed up at the bar. There's, like, 2 big tubs full of ice water with beer in it. And he starts screaming at her, and I didn't even let it escalate to a point where it was bad or anything. I just immediately was like, yeah, you gotta go. And even a couple of the other bouncers were like, you jumped on that one pretty quick, didn't you? I'm like, I did. I for sure did. That was for me. Like,
I never bounced. But I do remember one guy in particular. I used to work at Ladder 19 in Clifton. And there was this one dude who would come in. I don't know if I've told you about him. But he would have, like, a different color hair every week. He was in his 50s. Have I told you about this guy?
Yeah, you mentioned it. But keep going.
So if you haven't listened to this, he would have different color hair, like green, purple, orange. And would come in and try and fuck all the girls.
Of course.
Who were, like, 18, 19, all this shit.
Was he one of those, like, aggressive dancer guys, too?
100%. I watched him try and get in a dance circle with a bunch of girls. He tried to do the robot, and I got on the mic, and I said, I think that robot's malfunctioning.
See, that's someone who's worked in a bar too many times. All I need is a description, and I know that guy's, like, the aggressive dancer guy. Like, oh, I've seen 100 of him.
I have a name for that, where I see a dude in a circle. Have I told you a dude in a circle with 3 girls and he's dancing like kind of at the same pace that they are? I call it the may I stick my penis inside you.
So we used to call them skin tags.
Elaborate.
Just a thing that's hanging on you don't really want. It was always like the guy that would go just start dancing on a group of girls and they're all looking at him like, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing? So the bouncers would be like, skin tag by booth 2.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, I mean, that was our term for guys like that.
That's one of my favorite things about being a DJ is you have an excuse to be there.
Right. I would not have ever gone to that place.
Oh, I wouldn't have gone to Uncle Woody's as a fucking 25, 26-year-old dude, but I did it because I worked there.
I don't know that I'd go to a place called Uncle Woody's anyway.
It's a shithole, but fun times. But
seems like a nice way to meet a Catholic priest.
Or a mega church pastor's daughter.
See?
Shout out Mariah Tome. She's actually pretty cool. That's that. So we're gonna get the ad reads out of the way pretty quickly because I gotta
do this.
Get to stepping. You wanna do the chewy dick pills last?
Yeah, that's fine.
Alright. So we usually do this. Alright. So as a true football fan, you already know just as sure as the seasons change, Tom Brady will keep whoever he signs with in the game. Every weekend, our favorite gridiron players put their skills to the test, so why aren't you doing the same with my bookie? The NBA season is in full swing, so now is the time to get off the sidelines and get in the game with my bookie. My bookie is the premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college football action every weekend. They always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sportsbook on the planet. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with the best at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. Pick your locks for the week, put them together in one parlay bet, and when they all come through, the rewards will be huge.
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 Why, man?
Oh, there. I don't know. There we go. That took a little bit.
You didn't move from behind the pop screen for the first couple, so I can look through the top half.
It's all good. Tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? My bookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. Best part is, if you join right now, my bookie will double your first deposit.
Double it.
Double. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000. That's double your initial deposit, so you can use on all your favorite picks. Use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Get paid.
Get paid. All right, second one. First of all, we'd like to thank, I haven't done this yet, but we'd like to thank our sponsors at Armchair All Americans, who have been just helping us out, giving us the opportunity to do this.
That's fantastic. We really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Two guys just sitting in a kitchen at a table, getting to do something that they find fun, and people get to be entertained
and just get to bullshit with each other. And we've been getting better at bullshitting with each other, because we just do it for a little. Like, we just, it seems like it flies by.
Oh yeah, the past few have been so effortless and fun.
I love effortless bullshit sessions.
Yeah, I think the initial few, like, we just didn't know each other as well.
Yeah,
but once we kind of get a little feel for how each other does things and the sense of humor, I think it's been really fun lately.
It's been fun, man.
And so I appreciate the shit out of them sponsoring the show and
giving us a shot and
letting us do our thing.
Not only us, but like the new Nasty Boys and every other podcast.
So many podcasts around here that they really do help out, and I appreciate that. We all do. I'm always a big fan of anyone who's willing to help people try and do something they love.
So I just had a new podcast idea come up not too long ago before I do my next ad read. So I substitute teach part-time.
Yeah.
And so many comedians have done that. So I'm going to try and – this is just an idea I had. But if you're on – if you think this is a good idea, I might go for it. But comedians who have substitute taught, we can talk about their life in stand-up and talk about education and stuff like that and their experiences working with kids and all that stuff.
I like the idea, but also a lot of other comics have cool, different jobs.
Yeah.
I think anyone who's maybe just broaden it out instead of just comics who've done that, just take, anyone in entertainment, what else do you do? What do you...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of the idea I have.
Because, comedians, so many, pretty much every comedian that we know has a day job.
Yeah. And they range all over the place.
Yeah. I DJ, I substitute teach, I host trivia.
Yeah, I think you could definitely make that very, very fun.
Yeah, it's a blast. So, speaking of a blast, that segue made absolutely no sense. Support for Armchair comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. That's just nasty. Oh, that's nasty. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR. Did you say that too, Lloyd?
Yeah.
All right, cool. At manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code
ARMCHAIR.
At manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use code
ARMCHAIR.
We did that, and now we're going to talk about the Chewy Dick Pills.
Yeah.
Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go?
Ah, don't I?
Guys, let's talk about sex. Good sex. I said that with a very, Barry White tone to my voice.
It was Barry White meets Mr. Burns from The Simpsons.
I didn't really grow up on Barry White, so I didn't really know what his music was. Then I heard a song of his, and I kind of listened to a track. The first word I heard, I swear to God, was, yeah. I'm like, all right, Barry.
It's your first, your just last, like, your everything.
My first experience with Barry White was, yeah.
He's a bad, bad man.
He was a bad motherfucker. Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you could benefit from extra function, more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Most guys talk a good game, but Blue Chew helps you follow through. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Don't you hate that awkwardness, Lloyd?
Oh yeah, your neighbor walking by like, oh, so your dick don't work? No, discreet package.
Hey, neither is mine. Have a good day!
Discreet packaging, they have no idea.
Yep, they're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code ARMCHAIR. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code ARMCHAIR to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
So, if you guys, I'm going to let you a little behind the curtain here. Alex usually will, like, move his arm around or just point at a chair to remind me which one is which. And I don't need that for the Blue Chew one anymore because of the severe trauma of having my 17-year-old daughter read the ads a few episodes
ago. I was back. Just thinking about that while I was doing that. She still has those screenshots on her phone, probably.
Oh, for sure. And I... Like, she asked me multiple times for the link, so I know she had, like, people listen to it.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I remember every beat of that so well.
I remember losing my mind, laughing as obnoxiously as I usually do. But her friend and... Who was the other person in the room?
Her friend Emily.
Her friend Emily and it was the adult in the room.
Oh, Sarah.
Sarah.
Sorry.
They were both red-faced. Oh, yeah.
They were both, like... Emily looked like she had tears in her eyes. Like, I was thrilled watching that. But at the same time, it was...
Wonderful.
I honestly would listen to a podcast of just you and Lily the whole time.
Why do you watch a 17-year-old girl be mean to a guy 10 years older than her?
Because I'm her dad.
Yeah.
Steal Chad Daniels on. I sharpen that stick. I know how it pokes.
I
love watching it happen. And
the thing with her, she's never off.
No, she nails it. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's proud papa moment over and over because she'll say something, and I'll be like, "God damn, that was good." Like, I'm proud. Like, there's a lot of times she'll say just the perfect thing.
It's just the best thing there is. Like, there's a picture on Lloyd's fridge. It's colored in all nice. It has an owl on it. But the reading says, eat a goddamn bag of dicks.
Read what she wrote.
I know. Cause you're gay, love your daughter. That's so fucking funny.
No, she's great. I remember we were at Target and going through the checkout line and the lady's just like babbling on at Lily. Like not to Lily, but at Lily.
Oh,
like
boy.
Just babba, 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 babba. And then she was like, but I don't do any of that stuff. I don't drink. I don't even like people who use curse words. And Lily was like, oh, I'll bet you're blast at parties. And then just turned and walked over to Starbucks. And I was like, God damn it. She's so just.
Whoever said she was invited to parties?
I mean, whether she is or isn't, it's a great insult. Like,
it's a great insult.
I bet you're a blast at parties. And then just turned
it
and
got
walked.
To the point where I was just like looking at Lily. I'm like, we're cool, right?
She will make you question it sometimes. Like
she 100% did.
They're like, me and her will go back and forth like that all night when she's like, when she's actually like chilling in for a night. And by the end of the night, every once in a while, I'm like, we're good, right?
Like, yeah. It's just like, yeah, we're fine. I hope so. Because she's never off.
Yeah, her with watching her with Colin Rand was
wonderful. How long has she been like that?
Forever.
Really?
I mean, she had a little stint where she kind of like veered away and tried to get like very like
put together, but she gave up.
But she still just, she skipped being a junior. She's graduating this year.
Has she decided where she's going to school?
Not yet. She just filled out a app for Wright State, University of Dayton, a handful of other places, a couple in Florida.
Let's go fucking Flyers.
She's on the ball with it, man. And
you love to see it.
So it's not like I'm like, oh, we should buckle down and do something. But I can't complain. Like I said, she went from being a sophomore to a senior off of just her test results. They were like, yeah, you don't need to keep doing.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Skipping, like, I understand skipping first grade, maybe second grade.
She outscored all of their AP seniors at the school as a sophomore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what can I say? Like, oh, get it together. No, she's crushing it at everything she has to do.
Of course.
She's a 17-year-old makeup guru already, like. Adult friends of mine have gone to her and asked questions like, how do you do this? How do you do that? She's just, whatever she wants to do, if she puts even a half-ass effort into it, she's great at it. So I couldn't be happier. And the fact that she's funny too is just
the best. It's like, that's my daughter, and I'm proud.
It's icing on the cake. She's the best thing ever.
Fuck yeah. You love to see it. Speaking of the best thing ever, our Bengals.
What the fuck happened last week?
Who did...
Everyone did.
Yeah.
We were going to review the Super Bowl. You want to talk about the Super Bowl for a little bit?
Yeah, we can do a quick recap. And then.
So, the Chiefs are champions.
They are.
So, at the beginning of the season, I thought that Patrick Mahomes was going to regress a little bit because of the Tyreek Hill distraction. And he did for a little bit. But then at the end of the season, especially the playoffs, he took the fuck off.
I think that is the exact, like, that dialed in Dan Marino under pressure kind of player.
He is, like, he's everything you want in a quarterback.
Yeah, he's, the harder that pressure gets,
the better he is.
Yeah, he's not the coal that cracks, he's the one that turns into diamond. Like, that pressure makes or breaks him.
He's got so much around him. He's got arguably one of the best tight ends in the NFL in Travis Kelce. Go Bearcats.
Also one of the prettiest human beings alive.
Mahomes?
Kelce.
Dude, you see that the victory speech that Travis Kelce gave?
No.
He was lit off his ass. He was like drinking from the Lombardi trophy.
No, I saw a picture of him and his girlfriend not too long ago and I was just like,
he's a football player. Of course he's a handsome man. What? Some aren't.
All
right. I understand some aren't. But then you have one of the fastest wide receivers in the NFL, in Tyreek Hill, who insanely caught up to his running back after he ran for a 91-yard touchdown earlier this year.
Yeah, some of those guys, they remind you every once in a while. Like, they're different.
It's like watching Sonic.
Yeah,
it's like his legs are just going like twice the speed of any other person's legs.
Yeah, he's an absurd.
He's an absurd physical talent.
I come from like more of a fighting background where, you know, you can kind of neutralize certain parts with your brain and then there's just people that are physically able to do shit you can't.
Exactly, and that's what Tyreek Hill is. That's what Patrick Mahomes is. My bold prediction about Tyreek Hill, or Patrick Mahomes, he's going to be the guy in 5 years that everyone's sick of. Like, goddamn, fuck the Kansas City Chiefs for winning all the time.
Oh, you mean he's going to be Tom Brady?
Exactly! He's going to be Tom Brady. It's like, goddamn it, the Chiefs won the goddamn Super Bowl again.
You know who else I think is a physical specimen like that? Chase Young.
We'll get to that. I agree. I agree. He's the best player in the draft. We'll get to that.
All right.
We will get to that. All right. So, I lost my train of thought.
Super Bowl. Chiefs.
Super Bowl, the Chiefs.
The guy everybody's sick of for winning.
Exactly. I think the Chiefs are going to be good for a while. I think I'm just happy for them. They won their first Super Bowl in like 50 years, and
Andy Reid getting a win was nice.
That was awesome. So I was reading like post Super Bowl articles. I read this article that said the real winners of the Super Bowl in Miami were the strip clubs.
Oh, I bet.
There was a picture I saw. I'm going to have to show you this. The floor was covered in dollar bills.
Oh, yeah.
It was insane.
I can't imagine what that's like. Imagine if you were just like the stripper.
Like, strippers were walking on dollar bills.
Oh, I bet you like, this isn't probably not the thing most people want to think of, but I bet you Super Bowl weekend has got to be like prostitute and stripper Christmas.
Oh.
Like, think of how many dudes like probably get together with their buddies and rent a hotel room to go to the Super Bowl.
Not just that, rich people who can afford a $10,000 ticket.
Right, and then, you know, the nice room at the hotel and the this and that, away from the wife and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, 100%.
I just, my brain processes that when I think about, like, what it takes to have a Super Bowl in a city. Like,
this is the picture I saw. Like, the picture I decided was Post Malone with a cardboard box.
Bud Light.
Of dollar bills.
That was a Bud Light payment for one of his sponsorships. Yes, just got it all in ones.
Dude, look at that.
Yeah, it's so absurd.
It's unbelievable.
It's so absurd.
It was unbelievable.
I think they said it was like $25,000 or whatever his...
His payment from Bud Light was in $1 bills?
Yeah, he asked him to do it in ones. just like being silly. And they were like, absolutely.
That's unbelievable. Because Bud Light can do that.
Yeah. Do anything.
Which, side note, I had Bud Light seltzer for the first time last night. Not bad.
Did you make the Post Malone face? The giant smile?
Not bad. It tasted like White Claw if it had a slight hint of Bud Light in it. They somehow made it work.
I have never... I don't think I've ever drank a seltzer with alcohol in it. Oh, no, I drink one of those vodka highball, maybe. Oh, something like that. But, no. Good on them. Like, figured out.
You're a fucking rock star. I mean, if you, whatever your thoughts on Post Malone.
If you don't like Post Malone, you don't like fun.
He's a fun dude. I heard he was like hanging out at Bun, just hanging out with people when he performed at Bunbury.
Yeah.
God damn it! I would love to see Post Malone.
I went down and saw him when he was here.
How was he?
Great. And he was out like walking around beforehand, just like two or three guys with him that kind of were like, don't be dicks. And
yeah, you need that.
But he really didn't have to. Like, people were actually pretty cool. I was surprised by that. Like, it wasn't like a long time that he was out, but he walked around and got like, he talked to some guy, and the guy was like, oh, you gotta try the pear, some, I guess they had the pear cider, like they have at Brouhaha at one of the things.
Oh, yeah.
And man, he was like, oh, yeah, cool. And he went over and got that, and then he just walked around with his Bud Light in his hand, his little cup.
Just being a dude!
And then just disappeared back to wherever he came from.
You love to see that.
And, there's guys like that I don't care if I like their music or not. I happen to like Post Malone's music, but
I happen to like it too.
Guys are just fun. Like, I get I'm real over like people like the music snobs. Whatever, like, oh, he just uses autotune. But oh no, you caught him. You're the one that figured out the riddle. Yeah, he does. He doesn't give a shit. He's not there to be this hyper technical. Whatever. You know, he's not a Kendrick Lamar. He's not a. But he knows what he is. He's fun. He is enjoying it.
Who gives, like, he's not hurting anyone.
Right. He's not.
Just like we've said multiple times with Nickelback. I mean, if you don't like them on the radio, change the station.
Or just don't listen to radio. I haven't. Over 10
years. I mean, I have to keep up with the Hot 100 charts for DJing and shit. But
No. I get why. I don't. Yeah. I can't.
But Posty's fun. I'm on board with him.
Yeah, and he's all about bringing up people. putting people on tracks that are like up and coming and what.
A track on his newest album with Future and Halsey. I have listened to that one over and over.
Yeah, that whole album's fun. It's fun.
It's so much. I liked Beer Bongs and Bentleys a little better.
I did too. I mean, I think that just is the curse of someone on tour perpetually.
Yeah.
Is that you don't
really get a chance to like sit down and like just hammer out an album.
Yeah, you probably just don't spend as much time and effort working. I think the same thing with comics that like rush to have that special every year for a while.
That's why a lot of Netflix specials are like, I was disappointed by that.
But it's just that trying to get one out a year or whatever, or we're trying to keep up with like that Louis pace or the...
Or the Chappelle pace.
Yeah. Which, you just, that's not what you're supposed to do. That's why like Bill Burr, where they were like, oh, you should probably put one out. He was like, no, I'm going to take a while and I'm going to make the, like for Paper Tiger, he actually waited because he wasn't happy with the one before. So he was like, I'm going to make sure I like it before we do it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I love that. So, we were alluding to this earlier. This is the last thing. Well, we haven't really discussed the Bengals that much, right? Much at all.
No, we really haven't.
We really haven't. Let's get to that, shall we?
Let's do it.
Number one. In our theme song, we mentioned different players.
Yes, we did.
You're on the Chase Young train.
I am.
I'm on the Joe Burrow train.
All right, so let me explain my position.
Okay, so you were saying that before the podcast, you were saying that the Bengals should trade the picks.
Yes, Miami has 3 first-round picks.
But you also can't do that and also get Chase Young.
Yes, you can.
How?
Because there's a bunch of people who are wanting to trade up. Even after Joe Burrows, there's a handful of people that people want. I think if they work their trades just right. Now, I was actually just going over this like before you came over.
Okay.
And there's a handful of scenarios where I think that they could trade out and then trade. Trade the spot and then trade the spot. Because the needs of the handful of teams at the top aren't all the same. So I think if they work their trades well.
Because the Giants and the Redskins, who I believe are 2 and 3. No, the Redskins, Lions, and Giants.
Right.
Like Lions, none of them need a quarterback.
Right.
None of them do.
So I think if they traded Miami for all 3 picks, swap one of those picks plus a second round or a third round or something for a slightly higher pick, you have the currency then to throw away a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? If you trade it up to where you could get Chase Young. I get to see them potentially trading the highest pick or the second highest pick for one high enough to get Chase Young, maybe even still potentially get
a Tagovailoa.
Yes, and then
I'm not in love with him.
I think he is a Drew Brees. He is a Seahawks
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson type. Like he's that guy.
Deadly accurate.
Watching them play. And watching all these highlights, I spent the past 2 hours just going over like.
I think he's more of a Drew Brees, to be honest, because Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson is more of a deep ball than Drew Brees does.
I would disagree with that. Drew Brees has more passing yards than anyone.
Well, true, but Russell.
Russell has that big arcing cannon.
That's what style. I meant. He's got that like.
Drew Brees has that.
Russell Wilson will throw a 40-yard pass 60 yards in the air.
Right, where Drew Brees will
throw line drives. That's his deep ball.
Drew Brees will do it 15 yards from the ground, just high enough that no one's going to hit it, and cannon it 60 yards and smack somebody in the fucking numbers dead run.
To me, that's a Drew Brees deep ball.
Right, but he can do it 60 fucking yards. How deep you want to?
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that.
You know what I mean? Like, do I want an 80-yard pass? Like, I think Russell Wilson's look better. I think Drew Brees are more effective.
I agree with that.
So that's what I look at. Some of those games, Alabama, where he threw some fucking missiles at people.
Oh, of course. That's what Drew Brees does.
Well, I'm to a
Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. I want to say Viola for some reason. Tagovailoa. I still think I'm saying that wrong. But and then the added thing, now when I was figuring out where who was picking what, you also get Isaiah Simmons if you play the if they play their cards absolutely.
Who is
maybe the best DB in the draft.
Okay.
But there's so few people at the top that are gonna go that route.
Is like, he a corner or is he a safety?
Both. And he's played defensive end.
I think I heard that.
And he's played linebacker.
Oh, so he's just a defensive juggernaut.
Yeah. He might be my, if I was to pick a, if I was to make a draft board, he'd be in my top five. Without question. Like, not, no question he'd make top five. I think, maybe top three.
I think being a Bengals fan has, like, kind of pigeonholed me towards the only two people I know in the draft are Joe Burrow and Chase Young.
Honestly,
and Tua Tagovailoa and the other quarterbacks.
Put it this way,
and Jalen Hurts.
How many times have we had a quarterback? Or how many times have we seen a quarterback that had one amazing college season? Brady Quinn. Let's bring up an amazing senior year.
And I agree with that, and that's why. And that's why personally, I was against Dwayne Haskins last year.
I agree.
Yeah. Granted, he started off poorly, kind of picked up.
My point being is, and I hope this is where Duke Tobin's brain is, the player personnel guy for the Bengals, go with the best guy in the draft. Don't go for the need first. Also, realize that we have that back pocket of Andy Dalton for a trade. Andy Dalton's worth nothing up front to anyone as a trade. Now, whatever team doesn't get what they need in the draft, all of a sudden he becomes a big blue chip in your pocket.
Because this is the last year of Andy Dalton's contract.
Right. So, and they've also said they're willing to help him out with whatever. But if you wait until a team that's desperate for a quarterback.
Chicago.
Or let's say you trade.
Right. Well, right now, it's crazy to think about. I'm going to say this for the first time in almost 20 years. New England is kind of desperate for a quarterback because Tom Brady is on his way out.
All right, so here's my crazy dream scenario.
If you say what I have thought this past week, go for it.
Tom Brady comes here for his last.
I had that thought too.
It wouldn't be out of the round, and you know
it would not.
The Patriots love what Cincinnati does with personnel. Like they definitely.
Bill Belichick was like. Before the Patriots game, before the Bengals-Patriots game, Bill Belichick was like, those guys know what they're doing.
He might be Duke Tobin's biggest fan.
Really?
He's said multiple times, like, that might be the best team at drafting. Bill Belichick said that about the Bengals.
I think Cedric Ogbuehi, a lot of players would like to have a word with him. Billy Price would like to have a word with him.
Well, I'm saying that, like, the not being... Not buying into hype, not making choices because they're what the public wants, but drafting the best player they can get. Yeah, you know, I mean, like, think back to all these teams were like, oh, Ray Mallory, we're not going to blah, blah, blah. And they pick him up for a discarded, they moved down. They basically just had a throwaway, and they picked up Ray Mallory, who was.
He was a second-round pick in 09.
Right. But how well did he play versus what they projected? And they got.
He was a solid player for years, and that's what you want out of a pick like that.
So that's what I'm saying is I think Duke Tobin's propensity to go for the best guy. I think if they work the trades right, trade out all three to Miami for the first round pick. Trade one to Chicago for Dalton.
There's a lot. Andy Dalton has like five potential destinations.
Right, but I'm just saying, think if they got that pick as well. Then you get, what's his name from Texas? John Johnson, whatever, that left tackle. That's maybe, if he doesn't go in the top 10, that's robbery.
Again, I'm going to have to pay more attention to the draft than Joe Burrow and Chase Young. I'll have to look into it. Next month, I'll come prepared next time because I've been so.
There's a guy in I think, Houston. But he's played. He might be the highest ranked left tackle in the draft. But he's also played guard. He's also played center. I mean, he kind of played fullback for a handful of plays.
Okay.
He's just a dude who gets how to do that.
Fuck yeah, you like that?
So that's what I'm wanting to. fuck the hype train. I don't care about a Heisman Trophy. I don't care who's the projected first round. I want the pick the best. I guarantee, like, the way that Chase Young has played, there's no doubt in my mind that guy goes to the Pro Bowl 5 years
ago. He is Miles Garrett.
Yeah, if not better.
He's Julius Peppers.
If not better. I mean, I'd put him up there with any of them.
Okay. I see your point, and honestly, I saw this on a r/Bengals post. I will be happy with either.
I will too, and like I said, it kind of depends on how things pan out. Like, what offers do we get?
Because the combine hasn't even happened yet.
Right, and there's always going to be those guys who show up there where you're like, oh yeah, this guy was really awesome, we just didn't notice.
Yes.
There's a kid from Tennessee that, as a tight end, he wasn't in a system that used him as a you know, they kind of had a guy
to his full potential.
Well, they used one guy to block and one guy to catch, and then kind of, but he can do both. I can't remember his name, but he's very like Juszczyk kind of versatility, like that.
I've seen his name so many times, and I still can't spell it.
But yeah, I mean, you could potentially get him in the second round.
Okay. Well, which is crazy to think about, because I don't know if you remember this, but the Bengals did draft a tight end in the second round last year, and it seems like that was a waste of a pick.
We haven't seen what happens with the...
Yeah, granted, we haven't seen much of Drew Sample, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
But I mean, think like Ryan Hewitt, whatever. Ryan Hewitt, we picked up in, what, the sixth round?
I forget.
I think fifth or sixth?
Lord knows.
And he was... If he had been utilized a little more and been a little healthier along the road, he might have
done something.
But he was good. He was inarguably a good player. So I think that's where I appreciate like the way the Bengals have drafted. I think if they almost do it like in spite of how Brown runs the team. So what's worked on the seasons that we've done really well is when we went best player. There's a handful of seasons where we pick a need, and it never seems to go the best.
The last time the Bengals picked a player first overall, I forget whether or not he was the best player in the draft. But Carson Palmer, was he the best player in the draft?
That one was one of those ones where it was very heated. Like, there was a handful of players that came out. That, yeah, some of them have gone on to have better careers, but you couldn't have necessarily... Like, last year, Bosa would have been my first, hands down, no question.
San Francisco got him. Baker Mayfield went to Oklahoma, or went to Cleveland in 2018, then a quarterback who, granted, only played 1 year, was drafted first overall the very next year. He did all
right. Right, and he'll probably do better.
Yeah.
Like,
and if the Bengals draft Joe Burrow, which I'll plead my case... I hope that's the case.
That's your case?
No. Like, and I was at Murphy's in Clifton, and I was talking with a guy who brought up a very good point. So many teams right now are drafting their quarterbacks of the future, with high picks. And the Bengals keep passing on those guys consistently. So sometimes I think this represents a gamble that you have to take.
If Burrows was like a run-and-gun guy a little more than he is, if he was a little more mobile on his feet, if he was a little more... If we'd seen more than 1 year... I mean, granted, it might be the best year someone's had.
So yes.
If they draft him, I'm completely in. I
well, think you're going to support your guy no matter what.
No, I mean, I think that kid is a special talent. And if he can translate it to NFL speed, he'll be a Hall of Famer.
If the Bengals can surround him with talent.
Now, my other side of that argument, Chase Young, I don't care where he goes, who you put with
him. He's going to dominate. He's going to dominate.
That kid's a Hall of
Famer. And if the Bengals draft him, he's going to make an aging defensive line significantly younger.
Let's say you're a quarterback and you have to worry about Geno Atkins coming at you from this side and Chase Young coming around the end. Like, he's got that, like, Chandler Jones, like, off-the-line, just dust people kind of movement.
If not destroy
better,
people.
If not better. So, yeah.
But what, to me, what Burrow represents is a new beginning.
And the change of culture might be exactly what the team needs.
Because I was against Dwayne Haskins last year because a lot of the people that were gunning for Dwayne Haskins were Ohio State fans who were like, this guy's our fucking guy. He wasn't even the first quarterback taken last year. Questionably so. It should have been Dwayne Haskins, but it was Daniel Jones somehow.
Well, I mean, it all goes to show that once it gets to NFL speed, some quarterbacks just don't translate. I mean, look at some of the best that have ever played. Most of them
Matt aren't Leinart.
I'm saying most of them aren't first-round picks.
Matt Leinart, for example.
Right.
He was a special talent in college.
Again, Brady Quinn, I brought him up earlier. Like, how good was he that at the end of his college years? He was unbelievable. NFL speed just
couldn't translate.
He couldn't do it. So we've only seen 1 year of Joe Burrow in college.
Yeah.
Where he was really excelling, arguably against a kind of weak schedule.
You're also playing against a lot of the SEC, though.
Well, I'm just saying, arguably, like, the rankings were a little this year. There definitely seemed a lot more politics than substance.
Yeah.
So I think some of the teams they played definitely didn't live up to their rankings as much as they could have. And that being said, I still think that guy is... I don't want to take away from... I think Joe Burrow is an amazing talent and potential Hall of Famer if he can translate.
If he can translate. That's with any first overall pick.
I don't like the if.
Sometimes you have to go for that if.
I get that, but I'm not a gambler in that way.
Neither is Mike Brown, and that's why people hate his guts!
Well, no, he's a guy who wants to make money.
Yeah. Well, and what Burrow will do, he will sell tickets. He will sell mass amount of jerseys. When I went to the Browns game, I saw people in Joe Burrow LSU jerseys.
Right, and again, I have no direct opposition to them drafting him.
I'll be happy with either Joe Burrow or Chase Young.
I get the decision if that's what they do. I think the potential to build more of a team, more pieces to that puzzle.
Well, you have an entire draft to do that.
Right. That's what I'm saying, is that first-round pick could be traded for 3 first-round picks.
Yes, but you also got to keep in mind with Zach Taylor, Joe Burrow could be Zach Taylor's and I got to get going in a second, but he is Zach Taylor's project.
No, actually, I think Tua's more of... I think he's more in line with how the guys that have succeeded under Zach Taylor have played. A little more like that. Yeah, Joe Burrow's calm in the pocket, but it's also a lot of rollout, a lot of extending it, where...
That's a lot of what the NFL is nowadays.
But Tua's like that guy who he just twitches just enough. Like, I've always loved fighters that get out of the way by an inch. If you're a boxing fan, there's a guy named Vasily Lomachenko who has the best footwork I've ever seen from any boxer ever. And that dude, he doesn't get hit often, and he's always almost getting hit. That's what I like. I want to see that guy who's just, he can twitch enough just to get the defensive player to miss. And I saw much more of that out of Tua than I did out of Joe. So I think there's a toss-up between which one's better. In my opinion, and I think there'd be plenty of people that would make the argument minus the
both health sides concerns. Have good points.
Well, I'm saying minus the health concerns, which are a big thing. Hip concussions, those are problems.
For Chase Young?
No, for Tua.
Oh yeah,
Tagovailoa.
I'm always wary of Alabama quarterbacks.
And again, maybe this is me coming from the fight world. I'm always on board with Hawaiian athletes.
Domata?
Well, he's Polynesian. But,
okay.
Either way, they're very similar cultures, though. Like, if you look at Hawaiian fighters...
Was Manti Te'o Hawaiian?
Yeah, I think you... maybe. I don't remember. But,
that's a Google question. If you look, I gotta get going in, like, just a few minutes.
If you look at Hawaiian...
So we'll wrap this up.
Yeah, if you look at Hawaiian fighters, they're always some of the most game people. Just culturally, there's a piece to that I don't think you can replicate
I was right. Manti Te'o's Hawaiian.
Yeah, I thought so too. But, you know, fighters BJ Penn, Max Holloway. There's all these guys that are amazing champions that come from that and just have that I'll fight anyone, anywhere, anytime kind of.
And I think that's just beat the shit out of people.
And I think that's just a cultural piece. So I think I'm maybe a little more biased towards
people who are fighters.
I also grew up in Alabama, so.
Yeah. I think after the last thing I'll say on Joe Burrow.
After a 2-14 season, you kind of. Why I would pick Burrow, you kind of need something to excite the fan base. Because I like Dalton. I've liked him his entire career.
I have to. I've been.
But Andy Dalton, to me, represents continuity that the Bengals don't exactly need. Because they've been trending downward ever since that playoff blow up against the Steelers.
Right.
And I think if you keep that continuity, it's just going to piss people off and they're just going to expect the worst. Ticket sales. That stadium will be empty the entire season if Andy Dalton's the quarterback. And I hate to say that because I love Dalton.
I can't disagree with that, but I'm also looking at it from, again, apply the business perspective to it. Do you want to pop next year for drafting the first round, the projected first pick? Or
so you're basically saying, wait till next year when this year hasn't even started.
No. What I'm saying is that you have such a. There's so much potential for failure if Bro can't do as advertised.
Oh, that's with any first over. Right. With any first
so what
pick.
I'm saying is, in my opinion, a first pick on a quarterback is always a.
It's a huge gamble.
Right. So I'd say go with the best guy in the draft. Try and pick up a good quarterback in there. If it doesn't pan out. Yeah, I mean, there's actually a handful of guys even outside of those top two that
Jalen Hurts.
Right. But don't have the potential for the bust. Go for the safety net. Go for the guy who's going to bring in jersey sales for 10 years, not one.
Who would be, would Joe Burrow be the, for 1 year?
Well, yeah, if he doesn't pan out, you got a bunch of sales next year. Chase Young, if he plays even remotely close to his potential, he's a Pro Bowler for 5 to 10 years and a Hall of Famer.
100%.
So I'm looking.
They only had one Hall of Famer in their entire. Well, they've had a. I mean, T.O. played for them for. Did T.O. T.O. made the Hall of Fame, right?
Had to, right?
I think so. But the only Bengals player that's made the Hall of Fame while playing for the Bengals for most of his career is Anthony Munoz.
Ken Anderson got in, did he?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, that's a snub.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. But we should, because we're doing a Bengals podcast, but
we're dumbasses.
Oh, well. But, yeah, so either way, I'll be happy. I think trading out 3 first-round picks for 1 is kind of.
Not a bad move.
Because we need an offensive line real fucking bad.
Jonah Williams is coming back.
Okay, but he's the whole line?
No, I get that. I've mentioned that in the past. He's not the whole line. You get a guy. Hopefully, you get a guy in free agency. Hopefully, the Bengals embrace free agency.
So let's just say we hit 3 first round picks, and we pick up that kid from Houston, who is undoubtedly a great lineman.
Let's do it. So,
that debate will go on. I'm sure we'll
go
again
on
next
and on
month.
until draft day. And the last thing I'll say, Joe Burrow has been marketed for the past 3 to 4 months. As a future Cincinnati Bengal.
Up until the last couple weeks where he said he wants to play for a team who's committed to winning.
That message means one of two things.
Mike Brown, get your head out of your ass, or I don't want to play for you.
100%. Thank you. That's exactly what that means.
Which of those two is more likely to happen? Him pulling an Eli and holding
Mike
out?
Mike Brown perpetually has his head stuck up his ass.
Right. So, again, I relate back to my point of let Duke Tobin do what Duke Tobin does, draft the best player. If Joe Burrow doesn't want to be here, I don't want him here. You don't want a quarterback. You can't have that change of culture with a guy who doesn't want to do it. He's not trying to push the biggest leadership, mentality onto everybody. If you're going to go for a change of culture, don't do a forced change of culture. If he's going to be Eli Manning about it and be like, I don't want to play and for the. Fuck it. Let him go.
Yeah. So, I think we've got a lot to talk about in these next few months. Last thing, Lloyd, do you have any plugs?
I do not. I have nothing other than, you know,
go to Go Bananas. Sam Talent's there this weekend. Holy fuck, he's hilarious.
Sam Talent, I think Cam's with him, isn't he?
Cam, Lee Kimbrell.
Yeah, that's going to be murderous shows, guys.
Barnicklow is hosting.
Rand's one of my favorite human beings alive.
One of the best comics in the city.
My old roommate has paintings of his on my wall.
Oh, no shit, you do.
I do. I've been a fan of that kid since he was a teenager. Think he's a great guy.
Listen to local podcasts, New Nasty Boys, Puzzle Buddies, Rand's podcast, Rumble Lips,
yeah.
Living My Fest Life.
JTC.
Oh, Just the Clip with Blake and Jeremy Johnson.
Jeremy Johnson, too.
Sitting on their couches with their guts out.
Hilarious. Dude, follow just on Instagram, if nothing else. Follow it. You'll love it.
My main plug right now, I'm headlining the Sunday Comics Showcase at Wiley's Comedy Joint.
Woo!
On April 26th.
Big hugs, Dan Seabury.
He's in Columbus now.
Well, I just meant.
Big hugs, Dan, one of the most hoggable comics on the planet.
Well, I just meant, every time I think Wiley's, I just remember, like, such a sweetheart of a...
Oh, I love him. Sincerely good dude. I did an improv class with him and his girlfriend. That was a fun time. Hope to do that again soon. Other than that, I don't really think I have any plugs. Fuck you, NFL. You want to do that again?
Sure.
All right. I think we only have one thing left to say. Fuck you, NFL. We like the Bengals. Woo!
Why, man?
Fuck you. We like the Bengals.